Now, it's Food Friday. Food is one of the best ways to bring any family together. That's especially true for our next guests, their sisters who grew up learning Chinese cooking from their parents. In 2013, they started a family food blog, and now that's grown into a cookbook celebrating the flavors of China and their home kitchen. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What memories do you have of the kitchen bringing your family together? Did you find times in your adult life to get together with parents and cook some favorite dishes? Or do you bring kids in to the kitchen to work with you on making that family meal? And have you tried Chinese cooking of some sort in your kitchen? Do you have a wok? Do you have questions about how to do it? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Sarah and Caitlin Leung, along with their parents Bill and Judy, are the authors of the new book, The Woks of Life, Recipes to Know and Love from a Chinese-American Family. Sarah and Caitlin, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having us.
Now, Caitlin, can you talk about your family's food background and why this is so particularly important for you?
Yeah, our family is Chinese American, and we've always grown up kind of straddling those two worlds, and sometimes three worlds if you count the fact that my dad's Cantonese and my mom's Shanghainese. But food has always been super important to us as a family. You know, we grew up eating dinner together every night, or at least trying to, making an effort to, and cooking together. And yeah, I think over the years, it kind of quickly became apparent that me and Sarah had to roll up our sleeves and learn how to cook Chinese food and the food that we grew up with ourselves if we wanted to kind of keep it going for ourselves and the future.
Sarah, what are some of your first memories of actually working in the kitchen with your folks?
You know, I feel like every Chinese kid grows up being asked to make rice at some point, like make a pot of steamed rice. So that's probably like the first thing that I remember.
And let's talk about how this blog came to be. Caitlin, can you tell us a little bit about how this, you know, family love of cooking turned into your blog?
I'm actually going to pass it over to Sarah to answer that.
Go for it, Sarah.
Yeah, sure. So I think Caitlin is passing it to me because it's kind of, it was my story of having like just graduated from college and being unemployed and unsure what to do next that kind of spearheaded the blog. So yeah, in 2013, my parents were actually living in Beijing in China. My dad had recently gotten a temporary work assignment there. And so we were apart. We were, you know, separated by continents and by many time zones. And we kind of realized, Caitlin and I, that we had no idea how to make the foods that we were craving, which were the ones that our parents prepared for us growing up. And so we decided to start the blog as a way to stay in touch with each other while my parents were abroad, and also as a way to record those recipes so that Caitlin and I would know how to make them for ourselves.
And Caitlin, what were some of the first recipes that you realized, hey, this is something that's going to be fun to do as a long distance family?
That's a great question. Honestly, I think the first recipes that we kind of thought of were the easiest ones, of the low hanging fruit, if you will, of the stuff that me and Sarah had actually most successfully cooked together, because it was like, oh, well, duh, that's the very least we can do. And then pretty quickly we ran out of those. But one recipe that I remember is my mom's red braised pork belly, which is a super famous Shanghainese dish and one that we were very eager to get down on paper. All of us, not just me and my sister, but also my mom, who, you know, really, I think we all, at the start, we all really embraced documenting pretty much any recipe that came to mind because we all just thought it was such a cool idea. And I think my mom in particular was very much eager and almost felt a sense of urgency in passing the information on to sort of the new generation with, you know, her own daughters being the representatives of that, but also, you know, actually the people of our generation more broadly.
We're talking to Caitlin and Sarah Leung. It's Food Friday. They have a new cookbook out that they wrote with their parents. It's called The Walks of Life, Recipes to Know and Love from a Chinese-American Family. You could join in at 800-642-1234. If you have a story to share about cooking with your family, maybe handing down or receiving those great family recipes from a parent or grandparent, love to hear from you at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. By the way, we've got a few recipes from Sarah and Caitlin up at WPR.org/Food Friday. We'll check a couple of those out in a minute. Now, Sarah, let's talk. You have a list of important equipment. No surprise. A wok is featured prominently in the list. I once owned a wok. I don't know much about wok quality, but I know this was not a good one. It did not enable me to cook great food. What for somebody like me who would like to have a good wok, what should I look for, Sarah?
Yeah, sure. So you're looking for a wok that's made with carbon steel. Carbon steel is a great material because it's lightweight, so you can actually handle the wok and lift it a lot easier than, say, a cast iron or a stainless steel wok. And it's also going to be relatively thin. And the reason for that is you want the wok to be able to heat up relatively quickly, especially when you've already added food to it. So a lot of wok cooking, particularly stir frying, involves cooking over very high heat. So you want a wok that's thin enough such that when you add food to it, it's going to be able to heat up that much more quickly after it's kind of cooled down, after you added those ingredients. Also, you're looking for, I suggest, a wooden handle. Sometimes these metal handles can get really hot when the wok is sitting on the stove. So a wooden handle just kind of prevents you from burning yourself. And a really nice lid as well, because the lid is going to allow you to do things like steam and braise in that wok, and even smoke things in your wok. So I would say those are my top tips for picking a wok.
And then, Caitlin, I understand you're responsible for something that shows up a lot in the book, a chili oil that we make at home. Then we've got it sitting around using a bunch of different dishes. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that's I feel like I'm the poster child for our homemade chili oil. Because it's definitely one of my favorites. And I feel like it was such a cool moment in sort of, quote unquote, the blog's history when we discovered how to make our own Sichuan style chili oil, because it's actually pretty deceptively simple. But, you know, until you figure out what those key steps are, you kind of can't imagine achieving those flavors in your own home kitchen. But yeah, basically it's as much a condiment as it is a cooking ingredient. So I think when we first discovered it, and we're a little bit more nascent in our Chinese cooking adventures, we were more likely to use chili oil as a condiment for, you know, noodles, fried rice, or dumplings, what have you. But we kind of graduated to cooking more Sichuan dishes like mapo tofu, where that calls for like a quarter cup of our homemade chili oil. So it's really great to make it at home, because you just do a little oil infusion. You pour hot oil, you pour that hot flavored oil over chili flakes, and you have a chili oil. And then you can use like massive quantities of it and not be worried about, you know, running out of a little jar that is, you know, admittedly can be kind of expensive. So yeah, definitely one of our faves. And if that's like, if you're looking for a starter recipe from the cookbook, I would say that's a really good one, because it kind of opens a lot of doorways.
And we've got that at WPR.org/Food Friday. And it stars in another dish we have up there, shortcut Dan Dan noodles. I'm looking at the picture in the book right now. Sarah, it looks delicious. Can you tell us about this dish a little bit?
Absolutely. So that dish was actually my sister's invention. So Dan Dan noodles it's a Sichuan dish. And it can be kind of complex to make it from scratch at home. So you're going to make a sauce. There's kind of this like relish of ground pork and an ingredient called sui mi yatai, which is a preserved vegetable that you can find in Chinese grocery stores. And you're going to boil noodles and all that. So the most difficult part of the recipe is actually creating, like, layering the flavors of the sauce. So the shortcut aspect of this recipe is making that sauce in advance, and it actually keeps for several weeks in your refrigerator. So you can just kind of pull out that jar of sauce anytime the craving for a bowl of noodles hits. And all you have to do is cook off the ground pork with a little bit of garlic, ginger, and that preserved vegetable I mentioned, and mix it with the boiled noodles, maybe throw a little bit of baby spinach in there, or you could also use like any leafy green that you like, mix it with the sauce, and you're good to go.
We're talking to Sarah and Caitlin Leung on this week's edition of Food Friday. They are co-authors, along with their parents, of the new cookbook, The Walks of Life. They write the food blog of the same name. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Did you cook as a family? Did you cook with your parents growing up? Do you cook with your kids as you're raising them? Do you have favorite food traditions that were handed down? Could you write a book like our guests did, or would you want to? And what questions do you have about some of the Chinese cooking we are talking about? Do you have favorite dishes maybe you've had at a friend's, or maybe in your family growing up, or at a restaurant, and you'd like to try to create them at home? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Check out some recipes from our guests at WPR.org/Food Friday. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our Food Friday conversation with Sarah and Caitlin Leung, co-authors of the new cookbook. The other co-authors are their parents, by the way. It's called The Walks of Life, Recipes to Know and Love from a Chinese-American Family. You can join in with your experiences, your questions with Chinese food, Chinese-American food, or cooking with your family at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Jack is with us in Madison. Jack, hi.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I actually lived in Chengdu, Sichuan, for about 5 years. My wife is from there. And we came back to the U.S. last year, and she's always cooking dishes that I remember. So a few of them I wanted to bring up was chuan chuan, which is kind of like a hot pot. I call it a hot pot for one. I know you guys were talking about dan dan mian, which is also really good. I like za jia mian, and of course, you know, the traditional Sichuan spicy hot pot. I also wanted to ask your two guests what their favorite local Sichuan food would be.
Great. Hey, Jack, thanks for sharing that experience. Let's start with Caitlin, a favorite Sichuan food Jack wants to know.
That's a great question, and I love hearing about all of your favorite dishes. Mm. I have to say, I think the old standby mapo tofu is my favorite.
And that's tofu, and it's usually got some pork in it. Do I have that right, Caitlin?
Yeah, it's like ground pork and like a spicy bean paste and chili oil laden sauce with Sichuan peppercorn, and it's really, really good.
And would it work with your ultimate chili oil, Caitlin?
It does indeed.
Excellent. Sarah, do you have a favorite to share with Jack?
Yeah, my favorite is a little bit of an obscure one. It's called Fuxi Fei Pian, and it's like, it's normally made with tripe and tongue, which I know is kind of polarizing, but it's really tasty. The sauce is incredible. The mixture of textures is really interesting. You can find it in the appetizer section of most Sichuan restaurants here in the U.S. And it's just a really classic Sichuan dish. And actually, in our cookbook, we have a vegan version of that dish. So the veganized version kind of uses different types of tofu and seitan to kind of mimic those textures and flavors. So if you're a little bit, you know, nervous to try tripe, the vegan version might be the way to go.
Thanks a lot for that call, Jack, at 800-642-1234. Kay joins us now in Madison. Kay, hi.
Hi. My aunt and uncle lived in Taiwan for many years when he was in the military, and she would send recipes to our family, and my mother would make sweet and sour pork or fried rice, and we really enjoyed it, and it was a nice change from Midwestern cooking.
And Kay, is that something you still make to this day?
Yes, yes, we still do. My mother modified the recipes a little bit, so I have to kind of go back and unmodify them a little bit to make them a little more traditional.
Okay, thanks a lot for that call. That reminds me of something I wanted to ask about. Your dad, let's throw this to Caitlin, does a lot in the way of Chinese-American cooking and in some ways adapting things from China and integrating them with, you know, maybe a common Midwestern dish or other parts of the country. What kind of things come out of that?
Yeah, my dad is definitely the point person on all things Chinese-American, Americanized takeout, restaurant-style cooking, because he actually had experience growing up working summer jobs and to pay for college and things like that in restaurant kitchens with my grandfather, his stepfather, who actually was a professional restaurant chef. And so a lot of his cooking know-how comes from the training that he got during those years. And then later, my grandparents actually opened their own Chinese restaurant. So he had even more experience kind of making those beloved Americanized dishes that kind of everybody knows and loves so well, no matter where you are across the country. And in terms of, I think, some highlights, his Chinese takeout fried chicken wings are really good. They like are so delicious. It's kind of the original recipe that my grandfather would make, and we've brought that forward into the on the blog and now into our cookbook.
We are talking to Sarah and Caitlin Leung on Food Friday, their new cookbook with their parents. It's called The Walks of Life: Recipes to Know and Love from a Chinese American Family. Here's another one, Sarah. We've got a WPR.org/Food Friday. We've got your name on this in the cookbook here. Pork and shrimp, a su mai. Can you tell us about that one?
Sure. So shumai is a dim sum dish. So it's a steamed dumpling with pork and shrimp. If you've ever been to dim sum, shumai is like one of the most recognizable or common items. And it's actually shocking how easy it is to make at home. In the recipe in the cookbook, we use a stand mixer actually to mix the filling because you want to really emulsify that filling together to get it to have that like the right texture. And to do that, you kind of have to stand there and stir for quite a while, but to have a stand mixer do it for you is that much better. And you can use store-bought Hong Kong style dumpling wrappers to make these, or wonton wrappers. And you basically just fill the wrappers with the filling. You can put a little garnish on top if you like, but you don't have to, and you just steam them and they are delicious, particularly with Caitlin's chili oil or with some chili garlic sauce, which is also delicious.
We've got that up at WPR.org/Food Friday. Okay, Caitlin, something that's been nagging at me since I started looking at your book right off the bat. You describe your family as a bunch of strong-willed individuals. Now, you know, my wife and I, when we cook together, we're very strong-willed and have very strong attitudes about what happens in the kitchen. We've learned one of us is the prep cook, the other one is the chef, and that's how we can work harmoniously. How do you manage four different personalities, either working together in the kitchen or, say, planning out a cookbook?
That's a good system. Not a bad system at all. I think over the years, we've definitely learned to, number one, play to each other's strengths, similar to you and your wife. But also, I think that as we work together and as a collective, we also have had to learn how to step aside and kind of let each individual perspective have its, you know, kind of time to, you know, breathing time for us all to kind of reflect on, to say like, okay, if somebody has a recipe idea or somebody has, you know, a topic that they want to talk about, like we all kind of evaluate it sort of equally, even though we are kind of parents and children, you know, which is like inherently a hierarchical relationship, but bringing that equality to the table when we do have our kind of blogging hat on and our cookbook hat on is definitely important. And, as we were developing the cookbook, we kind of had a system where we allocated everybody kind of the recipes that we thought that each of us would do best with. And then as we went along, it kind of became clear that, you know, different recipes were trickier than others. And we would sort of do like swap meet on recipes of like, oh, I'll trade you this recipe for that recipe, and kind of, you know, in that way really brought the same strengths that we have in the blog into the cookbook, which is that all of the recipes go through the gauntlet, I like to say, of four different perspectives, and you know, the evaluations and the kitchen skills that come with each of our unique backgrounds.
And Sarah, not every family is going to do a food blog or write a cookbook together, but can you give us some encouragement to, you know, get together between generations, talk about the foods we grew up with, and share those recipes and experiences with each other in our families?
Absolutely. I think it's so important to pass these recipes down, to write them down. If you have a favorite dish that, you know, your mom, your dad, your grandparents make, take the time to go and write that down, because, you know, once our elders pass on, those recipes often disappear. And we've heard so many stories of that from our readers of like, oh, I thought this recipe was gone forever, and you know, I tried yours and it tastes just like my, you know, what my dad used to make, and that kind of thing. We hear that so often. So I would just say, if you have recipes that you love, definitely take the time to reach out to your parents, to your grandparents, your great grandparents, really study what they're doing in the kitchen. You know, you can just make a fun afternoon of it. Just kind of watch what's happening, write it down. And then to send it out to like the rest of your family, that's like, what a gift that is, you know? So I would highly encourage everybody to do that.
We'll leave it there. Sarah, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Rob.
And Caitlin, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Rob.
Been talking to Sarah and Caitlin Leung, who write the food blog, The Walks of Life, along with their parents. And the four of them are the co-authors of this new cookbook we've been talking about. It's The Walks of Life, Recipes to Know and Love from a Chinese American Family. You can find some of those recipes we talked about today with Sarah and Caitlin online at WPR.org/Food Friday. Try them out and let us know how it goes. And you could share your thoughts maybe about cooking with your family on the Ideas Network Facebook page.